Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las
podcasts.
Shining at the end of every day, there's a great big beautiful tomorrow, and tomorrow's just a dream away. Man has a dream, and that's the start. He follows his dream with mind and heart. And
hello and welcome to another episode of the Por Favor Manténgase Alejado de las Podcast. This is episode number 184, recorded from the D. Fauntleroy Studios in Westerly, Rhode Island. I'm your host, Gary, joined once again this week by Por Favor Mary in the Warwick, Rhode Island Studios. How are you today, Mary?
Not too bad. How's it going?
It's going good. It's going good. We gave
good.
Mike another week off.
We
don't have good success with three-way Skype recordings anyway. And we wanted to get you on for our Disneyland thing. He's been going through some stuff with Fenway passing away. Mm-hmm. And then now this week he's preparing for the hurricane. So
that's great.
Yeah, not good. Obviously, a lot of news, and by the time this comes out, it'll be right in the midst of whatever is going to happen with that hurricane, supposedly, because I think Saturday night, Sunday is like the main event of that, so
right.
to speak, at least in southern Florida, then working its way up through Monday, I believe, and then who knows. I mean, all the projections, most of them show it hitting Florida and then going
right.
up through Georgia and South Carolina, then out to sea. There's a few projections that show it skirting off into the Atlantic, a couple skirting off into the Gulf of Mexico. But most of them seem to think it's going to go right into Florida, which is obviously very scary because it's a big storm. They said it's over 400 miles wide, which is basically the entire state of Florida. From Miami
right.
to, I think it's Tallahassee up on the Panhandles, about 400 miles apart as the crow flies. So it's basically the size of the state, the hurricane. And it's coming. It's still Category 5. Hopefully by the time it hits Florida, it'll be less winds and not as intense. But like I said, by the time this actually comes out, we'll pretty much know a lot better. But just I want all the people that listen down there to know that I am thinking about you guys, especially Mike and Kristen, who are right in the midst of it. And then all the people down there. I know we have a lot of people that listen from Florida and in the area around Disney World. So thinking about all you people, anyone vacationing there at this time, it's kind of a scary situation. Obviously, and even you were planning to go down and you canceled your trip. You were going to go down on Friday, right before the storm, and obviously, wisely decided to cancel your trip. You were just going down for the weekend and probably wouldn't have been a fun time.
No, probably wouldn't have been too much to do. Would have ended up probably stuck in my friend's apartment with no power or something.
Right.
Just kind of sitting, keeping each other company, so.
Yeah.
We'll do it next time.
And then you probably would have been marooned there because who knows if you
would
be able to get
back.
Well,
that's the biggest reason is, you know, I mean, obviously I don't want to go into a hurricane, but I also, you know, have to work, so I can't really risk getting stuck down there. So.
Right, exactly.
Yep, had to make the grown-up decision.
Yeah, not the fun one, but I know there's a lot of people. I know Mike Schaefer, who's been on, and he's down there right now with his family, and they're actually staying at Fort Wilderness, and they closed Fort Wilderness already for Saturday and Sunday, or at least just Saturday. They're going to evacuate Fort Wilderness, so I don't know what their plans are. He just mentioned that to me on Facebook a little while before we started recording, and hopefully find some safe ground. I think he drove his camper down there so they could probably drive somewhere out of there or try to get a hotel on property for a night or two.
Right.
Obviously something they'll be safe. He's got two little ones with him, so I know that he'll do the best for what he has to do for his family, but thinking about them as well. It's scary though. I mean, you think about it, and I mean, there hasn't been a hurricane this big that I can remember in quite a while where it's been hyped up beforehand as much as this.
Right.
Even the one that obviously devastated Houston, I don't remember hearing a whole lot before it until the floods came, and then it kind of just obviously turned into a huge disaster in that part of the country. And obviously anyone in that area, our thoughts go out to them as well. And it's kind of strange, like the whole focus of everything was on the flooding, and now that's kind of taken a back seat to this tracking of Irma. And it's crazy, though. I mean, you just see this thing and just the devastation that it's already put some of those Caribbean islands through. And it's just the force of it's just incredible. So I just really hope it doesn't live up to the hype. I hope it kind of fizzles out somehow. I don't have a lot of confidence in that happening, but I hope for that, and I hope it all goes well for everyone in the path. And just stay safe, do the right thing. I know all you people down in Florida are pretty ready for those big storms, and they'll do the smart thing. And how's Por Favor Amanda? Did she get out of town?
She actually already had, she's in Rhode Island right now. She already had this little trip planned. So she's supposed to be here till Tuesday.
Okay, so she might not be able to get back right away, but I'm sure that won't be too big of an issue. So she's out of town for now.
Yeah. So
good coincidence, I guess, that she had planned to up for this time of the year.
And then my friend Brittany is going to be down there.
That's who you're going to visit.
Right.
Yeah.
She's going to go stay with, she has some relatives in Florida. They're not really any more out of the way than she is, but she lives alone, so she's just going to go stay with them so that she's not alone in her apartment.
Yeah, that's smart.
To have, so, you know, and they've been living down there for a while, so I'm sure they have all their stuff ready to go, their preparations, so.
Generators, all that kind of stuff. Yeah, that's important.
So, keeping positive thoughts and...
Yeah, I know that they've, basically the state is out of gas and out of bottled water and...
Right.
Crazy things. I mean, obviously,
it's crazy.
Hopefully people are using this time to get ready, you know, filling up any container they can with tap water and kind of putting it aside.
Right.
For those kind of things. And
it's
nuts because they could, I mean, it's potentially without power for quite a while if it's as bad as they think.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not good.
I guess the only positive from, I feel like they really made sure everyone was prepared, especially because of what just happened in Houston.
Right.
Like you said, we didn't hear a lot about it, like nationwide at least.
Right.
Hear much about it, but it's like, you know, with Irma, it's like everyone knows that it's coming up, and they've really been, like, they declared a state of emergency in Florida like days ago.
Yeah.
So they're really keeping everyone on their toes and making sure people are preparing themselves.
Yeah, I really hope it's like last year. I forget which one it was. Maybe Matthew. Last year.
Mm-hmm.
Where they...
We got nothing in Orlando.
Right, like everyone was preparing for the worst and then it kind of just fizzled out. I hope that happens again. I know people were kind of, not mad, but they were like saying, oh, it all just got hyped up. It was media. But, I mean,
But you know what? Better safe than sorry.
Well, that's what I think.
I'd rather be prepared and have nothing come through than the opposite.
Right,
so.
Exactly. Yep. Anyway, on that note, you have anything else you want to add here, Mary?
No. Nope, I think that's it.
It's funny, I have my unofficial beer sponsor of the week, and I think it was appropriate. I have a Newport Storm, and it's called the Hurricane Amber Ale, was in the fridge. Okay. So I knew we'd be talking some hurricane talk, so I figured I'd go with that one. And I've had this one before, but it's a good amber ale, good for this time of year in the fall.
Very nice,
very enjoyable. I know you're probably less interested in this than Mike because you don't even drink any kind of beer. At least Mike.
I think I have more of a polite interest than Mike does.
I don't know. Well, it's like talking.
I'll listen to what you say.
To a wall, but yeah.
Yeah, I'll listen to you, but I won't know what you're talking about.
That's fair. That's fair. all right, well, with that being said, I guess we should take a break and we'll get into the meat of this week's episode and kind of get into a more lighthearted topic after this break.
Plenty of people, they started with nothing.
Just a suitcase and a dream.
They packed up their cases and went to new places.
With a suitcase and a dream.
They made the world into a place like you had never seen.
Machine. Yeah. Grab a suitcase
and start your dreaming.
The rest is up to you. It don't matter if you're rich or broke. It don't matter if you're giving up hope. All you need is a little drive to make your dreams begin to come alive.
Hey, fellas, here's the late edition, and it's got a big headline. Mr. Disney, he traveled west, just a few bucks to his name. Along the way, he met Mickey Mouse, and the world will never be the same. He had a suitcase and a dream, a suitcase and a dream.
All right, we're back from break. This is episode 184 of the Por Favor podcast. I'm joined by Por Favor Mary, part two of her Disneyland trip review. And this week, we're going to talk about Disney's California Adventure, your thoughts on that. This was your first trip out to Disneyland. And last week we talked about Disneyland Park, some of the things you did there. And we got interrupted by some technology glitches, and we just kind of cut it off at the end of Disneyland. The last thing that you really mentioned was the, what did you say, the Paint the Night Parade? Or the
Sensational. Yep.
The Sensational Parade, and you said that you really enjoyed that. I think it's a good parade. I remember seeing that when I was out there a few years ago.
Yeah. Yeah, I really liked it. I'm used to, the only one I have vivid memories of at this point is Festival of Fantasy.
Right.
Because even the ones I've seen before that, I don't remember too much about them. So it was fun to see a different parade, and I had a lot of characters from some of my favorite movies, had a little Aladdin section, Mary Poppins is one of my favorite Disney movies, so, yeah. And I liked, the soundtrack to it was
fun. The soundtrack's good, Three Caballeros are in it.
That's right.
Mary Poppins, like you said. Good stuff, definitely. But this week we're talking about California Adventure. So that was your second day out of 2 days going up to Anaheim from Los Angeles, correct?
Yep.
Or down. Is it up or down? I don't even know relation-wise where they are.
I want to say it's up.
Up, okay.
But I'm not positive either.
Either way, you went again 2 days in a row, and what, you didn't do the park hopper. You did the one park per day.
Right.
And you were able to go to California Adventure for a full day. And what were your thoughts, initial thoughts of that park?
I really enjoyed it. For a lot of my life, and it's starting to fall in my estimation now, but Hollywood Studios was my favorite park. And a lot of parts of California Adventure remind me of Hollywood Studios and the things that I like about the atmosphere and things like that about Hollywood Studios. So they have kind of that section that's old Hollywood feel. And then they have, obviously, the pier and Cars Land and Bugs Land and all that stuff. But I liked it. I liked the theming of it. And it felt a lot bigger than Disneyland. I don't know if it is really any bigger or if it's just the way it's spread out. But it felt bigger. And, yeah, I liked all the different areas of it. There wasn't a specific part that I was kind of like, meh, this part's not that great.
I did kind of have that feeling, like the Condor Flats area didn't really do much for me.
You know, I actually didn't even spend much time over there. We went over to Soarin' and picked up a fast pass, and then we actually didn't even go back for it because we didn't end up having time to do it. Because it was in a similar time frame as our Radiator Springs Racer fast pass, and that was right towards when World of Color was starting, and that was one of my priorities of the day, was that even if no one else wanted to watch it with me, I wanted to see World of Color.
Yeah, that's a great show. We'll get to that a little bit later.
Yeah.
But yeah, I found that that area of California Adventure was a little boring to me. And maybe it was tough because when I went, the raft ride was closed. Was it Grizzly River, whatever it's called? And so that was closed, so that whole, area of the park was kind of dead. It felt like when you go in Epcot and you go down, behind Energy Adventure, and there's, nothing over there. That's what it reminded me of. And,
yeah, now that you mention it, I wasn't even thinking about that area because we didn't do the raft ride.
Right.
And we really only went over there we grabbed a fast pass for Soarin', and then we didn't go back.
Didn't even use it.
Yeah, we didn't spend any time over there at all.
But the other parts are themed well.
Yes.
I like it. I liked California Adventure a lot. And looking back on it, it definitely is the blueprint for what Hollywood Studios is going to become.
I think so.
Just replace Cars Land with Star Wars Land, replace Bugs Land with Toy Story Land, and all that kind of stuff. And the theming is good on the main strip when you walk in, and the old school Hollywood, and that's what Hollywood Studios has right now. And that's great theming, but nothing else really fits together. But I guess it's okay because they each stand on their own and they don't necessarily need to flow because that's just the style of the park. And it's just a different way of doing it that they've never really done before until that. And obviously it's working because people really like the park itself. There's just not a lot of continuity there.
Yeah, it's not one cohesive theme. They are all very distinct and very different, which is, it's a little, not jarring, but it is, it feels different, like it doesn't feel like
well, it's kind of weird
the
to
other
walk
Disney parks
off of Heimlich's choo-choo train and walk out the back of Bug's Life and be looking at the Tower of Terror.
Right.
It doesn't like,
which is now Guardians of the Galaxy.
And it doesn't really make much sense in that regard. Right. But like I said, it's not the end of the world. It still works. And if you take each little land on its own, then all of them are done pretty well.
Right.
Especially Cars Land, which was incredible. But why don't you go through your day, kind of go chronologically how you toured the park and what you did.
Yeah, we started our day off basically, we went right over to the Mission Breakout, I think it's called, the Guardians ride, to see if there were any fast passes left, which there were not.
Because that had just reopened, right, when you got there?
It had been open for probably under a month at that point. I don't know exactly when it opened, but I went at the beginning of June. So I think it opened late May.
Yeah, I don't remember exactly, but
so mid to late May. So we kind of checked back there a few times throughout the day and never ended up getting in line for it because it was just craziness.
Now, did you do any research into that? Like, did they change anything or was it just kind of like a, like they didn't change the ride system or anything, right? It's the same ride. It's just different overlay on it, basically.
Right. Like it's still, I mean, I don't know if it's technically an elevator, but it's still like that drop.
It's still the drop
system.
And so they just rethemed it basically.
Right.
And
yeah.
It, if that's the case, and I know you're not like a Marvel person, I don't know if you even saw Guardians of the Galaxy, you're not really missing out on much because that Tower of Terror was, it pales in comparison to the one in Orlando. Like the
I've
ride
heard
system
that, yeah.
is so different. It doesn't have, it's not nearly as good. So just going on that version of it with a theme that you don't care about, you would probably not have enjoyed it, especially if you had to wait 90 minutes to 2 hours in line to go on it.
Right. It was certainly not a priority for me. Dan and Brittany both did really want to go on it, but at one point they were going to get in line, and I think it was like over 2 hours. And I was like, you guys can get in line. That's fine. But I was like, I'm not going to. And we actually had another one of my friends has been living in L.A. for a while, my friend Matt, and he had met up with us that day as well. So I was like, I'll just hang out. And we'll go do something else. So
you'll do like 9 drawing classes in a row while they.
Yeah, I was like, don't feel bad. Like you guys get in line, but I just don't want to wait 3 hours for this. I would rather get to do more things.
Right.
But they ended up not waiting either. But yeah, I mean, I have not seen Guardians. From what I've heard, it's not like a superhero movie like Iron Man would be. And I've heard from a lot of people that I probably would like it, and I'm sure I would. I just haven't really taken the time to find it and watch it.
I think I would like it also. I haven't seen it either.
Yeah.
But again, I haven't sought it out. It's not on my list, like a high priority of a movie that I want
right.
to see.
Like if it was on Netflix right now, I would probably have watched it already.
Right. It's just like a nerdy 80s movie, basically.
Right.
Or that's the theme of it. So.
Right.
Like it's got good 80s music. So I probably would like it, but I haven't watched it.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm sure if it was, like, waits that Tower usually has, I would get in line and even wait for an hour for a new ride. but the wait times were not dipping below like 100 minutes. And I was like, I just can't, I can't imagine for something that's basically going to be Tower, just with a bunch of characters and things that I don't know anything about. I didn't feel the need.
That's the problem. Like, if you liked, if you watched the movie and you owned it and you watched it 10 times and you loved it, then yeah, it probably would be worth it, even though the ride system isn't that great. But with no interest that way, probably a good move to skip it.
Yeah.
Alright, so what else did you do? Besides,
so after that, we went over to Cars Land to grab a fast pass instead for Radiator Springs Racers. So we got that, and then...
Now, I have to say that things have changed a lot, because when I went, they had just opened Cars Land, like, a few months prior. And you had to actually line up before the park opened just to get a fast pass. So we got in early, got in line. It was a huge line just to get the fast pass for Radiator Springs. And so we got there, like, they opened the park an hour early if you stayed at, like, a Good Neighbor Hotel, which we were at. And we still got there, like, a half hour before that, waited in line. Our fast pass was for, like, 4:30 in the afternoon, so.
Yeah, I mean, we got there because we had to drive a little over an hour. We probably got there at, like, 10:30, maybe. And our fast pass was for, like, 7 to 8 o'clock. So they do still go.
Still pretty popular.
Pretty quickly. But I'm sure the wait times aren't anything like they were when you were there. Like, you can probably wait for an hour and ride it whenever you feel like it.
Yeah.
Or so, you know, like any popular ride in any Disney park, it'll go between an hour and a half for, like, a roller coaster kind of ride. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we went over and got those instead. We walked around Cars Land a little bit. We knew we were going to obviously come back, so we didn't do too much over there. But we did, I don't know the names of all the rides there, but they have one that's like Luigi's
something or other. Oh, the flying
tires? Well, it's not that anymore.
Oh, they changed it, that's right.
It's a different ride now, because I guess they just had a lot of issues with it. For the other ride it was. It's like this dancing cars ride. Weird. Which was like the silliest thing, but I was just like so amused by it. Like, they basically, these cars just kind of float around on the ground, I guess, and they kind of just like dance in unison, and it's like so weird. They play like, they were playing Mambo Italiano, and they play like the Tarantella and all these different like Italian songs, and it's just all these cars like circling around each other. But for whatever reason, I was like, this is the weirdest ride, but I was just laughing the whole time. So it was actually a lot of fun. I liked it a lot, but it was a bizarre ride. Like, I've never seen anything like it.
Interesting. I forgot totally that they changed that, and I had heard about that. They took out the flying tires.
Yeah, I was, because my friend Matt, his boyfriend used to work at Disneyland. He did entertainment, like parades and stuff. So he kind of knew of, like, more stuff about that. But I guess, like, you kind of had to use your weight to move the
Yeah, you actually had to, like, thing. Lean.
And, like, I guess just, like, people couldn't, like, nothing was ever happening. Like, people couldn't do it. I don't know if it was a combination of, like, how the ride was made and just, like, people were having a hard time. So I guess they just decided to change it. That's the sense that I got from what he had said. But, yeah. Yeah, so that was fun. We did that. And then we stopped over at the Cozy Cone area and got a little snack over there. They have, like, bread cones.
Yeah, do you still have the chili in the cone?
Yep, I got chili. That was cool. And Dan and Brittany both got, they had, like, a bacon mac and cheese one.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so we had that as, like, kind of an early lunch kind of snack.
They have that at the Food and Wine this year at the craft beer booth.
Mm-hmm.
They have a bread cone filled with hamburger mac and cheese, so it's like a cheeseburger macaroni and cheese handwich, they're calling it, but it's basically a cone filled with ground beef, cheese, and all sorts of goodness.
Oh, that sounds good.
Yeah, it looks
I've seen
good
too that they have like a charcuterie in a cone
from
one stand. I don't know which one, but I don't think the cone is edible.
It's not. It's just like in a
paper cone.
But that looks pretty good too.
Yeah.
Although I think the food trucks at Disney Springs do the cones once in a while.
Oh. I had heard that they did it at, offered it at Fantasmic as well, but I've never actually seen it, so maybe it was just there for a little while.
But yeah, I had like the green chili in the cone. It was so good.
I had just the regular chili.
It was very good. I remember that. I think Sarah had popcorn in a cone there.
There you go. Yeah, so we did that.
Did you get to meet Lightning McQueen or Tow Mater?
We didn't meet them, but we did see them around a couple of times because we ended up kind of walking through that area a few times throughout the day.
I loved that area. I absolutely loved it.
I loved it. We went right around the time when our Fast Pass was coming up, obviously, and we spent probably the most amount of time in that area then.
Yeah. Was it dark at that point or getting dark?
Yeah, we went kind of right around dusk, but we were in line for that other, the Mater's tipping tractor ride or whatever it is. And we were in line, I think, right when they turned all the neon on. So we were in that section, but we didn't see it.
Excuse me. Yeah, we missed that as well when we were there, but it's so cool at night with all the neon.
Yeah, it's so cool. But I've heard it's really neat to kind of be right on the street when they turn on all the neon. So. Yeah. We just missed it by like a few minutes, but it was still really cool to come off that ride and then see all the neon lit up. And it's so neat how it just like, it looks exactly like the movie. Like everything is just exactly where it is. And it's like an exact replica. You feel like you're walking right down that street on your TV.
It's not even a movie that I love. I've seen Cars. But I actually, because of Cars Land, I like the movie better.
Yeah, I ended up buying a Flo's V8 Cafe hat, and I was like, I watched the movie a few times from when Mom used to babysit for Ben, and he liked that movie a lot. But it's not like a big movie that I watch all the time, but I just enjoyed that area so much. I was like, I'm going to buy this hat.
Yeah, it's great. I think they did a perfect job with it. I wouldn't change any of the theming they did, and it's awesome. During the day, it's great. At night, it's even better, and it's really cool.
Yeah,
good food there. I know Flo's V8 is supposed to be really good. That was closed when we were there.
Yeah, I got a milkshake there, which was really good, but we didn't eat in there.
But the Cozy Cone's good, the Flo's V8, there's the little shops, and then the rides are good as well.
Yeah. So after we did that Luigi's ride. I just looked it up, by the way. It's called Luigi's Rollickin' Roadsters. But, like, look it up and, like, watch a video of it because it's just, like, it's so silly. I don't know, but I loved it.
All right. It's got the Por Favor Mary seal of approval.
Yeah. It's worth, like, a 15-minute wait for sure.
Sounds like it wouldn't have much more of a wait than that normally.
No. After that, I think we headed over to the Paradise Pier area. We did, I think, almost everything on Paradise Pier. But we did the Mickey's Fun Wheel.
Which is terrifying.
Which is horrifying.
I was stuck on that for almost an hour.
Oh, no.
It got,
that would have been bad. So we did the...
It was like a nightmare.
The, what are they called? Gondolas?
Yeah.
Or whatever?
The stationary ones or the moving ones?
We did the ones that move.
Yeah, not a good idea.
And so we were in line, and Brittany was saying to us, she was like, just so you know, I'm not a huge fan of Ferris wheels, so I might be kind of nervous. And we were like, okay. But we didn't really have that much of a sense of what it was going to do or how. Like, you can see it, but you don't know. Once you're in there, it's so different. So we're in our gondola with this other family we don't know because they put people on each side. If you're a party of less than three, you have to partner with someone else. The first time we moved, she like curled up into the fetal position and started crying.
Oh, geez.
And I was like, okay, let's hope that this doesn't. So we go around and we're at the bottom and then it's like, nope, you go around another time. And I was like, oh my gosh, just let us off this ride. None of us were enjoying it enough for that, so
it was
kind
horrifying.
Of a stressful experience.
It's horrifying. We were stuck at the top for like an hour, just like floating there. And I have to say, the views are incredible from up there.
Oh, yeah. But it's beautiful.
It's not worth it. Do the stationary one, maybe.
Yeah. Like, it's very jarring the first time you move, because it moves so much more than you anticipate.
Yeah.
And then you're, like, swinging pretty severely.
Like, you assume the thing's broken and you're just going to plummet to your death, basically.
Right, exactly.
That's at least what I assumed.
Right. So, the first time it was very jarring, and I was like, I'm not going to like this. And then you kind of, it's not as bad when you're at the top because you're not moving as much. And, you know, Dan and I were somewhat able to enjoy it. But, yeah, it was not a great experience. I would say, if I were to do it again, I would definitely just do the stationary one. Because it's beautiful. You can see everything from up there.
Yeah, it's probably worth it for the views just to do the stationary one if you don't like that. If you're not a fan of heights, don't do the moving one.
I don't know. I feel like it should have more of a warning of, like, just how intense it is.
Yeah.
I feel like they don't give you enough information when you choose which one you're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know.
So speaking of Paradise Pier, did you... now, their Toy Story is a little different.
So we didn't do it.
Oh, okay. It's slightly different.
I didn't realize it was any different.
It's just the gun comes off, I think.
Oh,
something
okay.
like that. Or the way you... I don't think it has the string. I forget what the difference is. There's a slight difference to it.
Yeah.
But the coolest part is the Mr. Potato Head animatronic in the line, which you probably could see just by walking by.
Yeah, but they used to have that in Disney World, too.
Oh, I've never waited in the line. I've only done Fast
Pass.
Oh, yeah.
They had him for a while, but they got rid of him, I guess.
Really?
Whatever reason.
No, I didn't know that. Maybe when they added the theater, they had to get rid of it or something.
That could be. But yeah, that was something that we skipped because we knew it was essentially the same exact thing.
Yeah.
We did the swing ride. Again, I don't know the names of any of these rides, but...
Yeah, I didn't... It's like Silly Symphony Swing or something like that.
Yeah.
But we didn't... Yep. I didn't get to do that because Sarah doesn't like those kind of rides and I didn't want to do it by myself.
We did that. That's one of my favorite kind of rides. When you go to, like, any other kind of amusement park, they almost always have one of those, and I love it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I made sure I wanted to be able to do that. We did, like, the Zephyr ride.
Yeah, I didn't do that one either. I did we did Goofy's Flight School.
We did that as well.
Which is the same as Primeval World, pretty much.
Yeah, and it's a type of ride that I really enjoy.
I like that
kind of
thing.
It's another one where I just laugh the whole time that I'm on it.
And the theming's a lot more fun with Goofy, I think.
Yeah. So that was fun. We did that as well.
How about...
I'm trying to think what else on the pier.
California Screamin' is there.
We did, yes. So we had gotten in line because it wasn't too long of a wait, but then they were having technical difficulties. And we had just gotten in line, so we got out of line and got a fast pass instead.
Oh, okay.
And came back and did that later. But, yeah, we did that, which was a lot of fun. And I, for whatever reason, had thought it was the same track as Rock and Roller Coaster, which it's not.
I thought it was the same track. I know it's the same, mechanism.
It's a little different. Like, it's very similar, like, the launch and the initial kind of upside down, but it's not the same track.
Yeah,
but it's a very similar ride. But that was a lot of fun. I liked that a lot.
Yeah, that's a good one. I like it being outside.
It's so neat. Like, maybe that's why it feels so different from Rock and Roller Coaster, because it's outside and maybe there's just only, like, a little bit of difference.
Right.
But it's cool, like, when you're going upside down to actually see that you're going up and see everything around you.
Right.
And again, just being right on the pier, it's really cool to, like, see everything around you.
Definitely.
So that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I was able to do single rider on that like 3 or 4 times in a row, and it
was
like 2-minute waits each time, which was
nice. We didn't end up doing it more. I don't think we did anything more than once.
No.
We kind of just were going all around and doing all different things, but
did you know that's Neil Patrick Harris's voice?
Yeah. Yeah, I did, which was fun. I don't know if I would have recognized it. I probably would have been one of those things where I would say, oh, this voice sounds really familiar, and it would take me a while to place it, but I knew before I got on that it was him.
Yeah. Did you do the King Triton's Carousel?
We didn't. That's something else that we skipped.
It's not really that great. It's just you're riding on a seahorse or an otter or something instead of a horse.
Yeah, it's cute, but it's not. It's still just a carousel.
I'm trying to think what else is there, but I think that's it. Is the Little Mermaid ride, is that technically on the pier, or is that in the
I don't know if it's considered section? Part of the pier, but we did do that, which
it's the same
seems
as the
like
one
a little bit of a waste of time, because it's the same exact thing, but we're just walking by and hopped on.
Yeah. That was the one ride that really felt like it didn't fit in that park where it was.
Yeah, it would make more sense in Disneyland, I think.
It just was kind of there. It was in like a theater-looking building, and it was very strange.
Yeah, there's not a lot of character-based rides there.
No.
But yeah, we did do the drawing, the Animation Academy.
Right.
We did that. I think we drew Minnie Mouse. I think.
I do like.
Might have been Mickey, but.
I mean, I know Hollywood Studios doesn't have it anymore, but I do like that they had it. Like a schedule of who they were drawing at each time.
Yeah, that was nice. And it was nice, like, a big... It felt like
a lecture hall. Yeah, there was a lot more room to get in. You didn't have to wait.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was fun. I was glad to do that because that's something that I miss from Hollywood Studios.
Did you get to go to the show at the Hyperion Theater? Is that what it is? The Frozen?
No, it is. Yeah, the Frozen, we didn't kind of fit that into our schedule. It's kind of tough because we didn't really have a game plan.
Right.
And I think for your first time going, you have to kind of figure out, like, what are the things that we definitely want to do.
You prioritize.
Right, yeah. And there were things like, I didn't even know they had a Monsters, Inc. ride until we walked by it and were like, oh, let's do this.
Yeah, that's kind of nerdy, it's okay, but...
Yeah, I mean, it was cute, we waited maybe 15 minutes for it, so I was glad that we did it, but...
Yeah.
You know, I didn't really do a lot of research before going, I was like, I'll just go and we'll play it by ear, and I know certain things that I know I want to do, and... But I think if you're only going to be spending one day in each park... You kind of want to get with your group and figure out what do we definitely want to do so that you can make a plan.
Yeah, so
kind of, it's a little bit harder because you get fast passes in the moment. You can't plan ahead as much as you can in Disney World, but, you know, make a list of the things you want to do. And we would have seen it, but it was just something that, you know, there was no point in the day where we were
had
nothing to do and in that area, and so we just didn't really fit it in.
I have to say that the advantage I had, or several advantages I had over when you went, is that we had park hoppers.
Mm-hmm.
We went for 3 days instead of two.
Right.
And it was a ghost town when we went in January. There was nobody there. So everything was pretty much a walk-on except for the headliners. I mean, even Indiana Jones and Disneyland, we walked on 3 times in a row without having to wait. So that just shows you the crowd levels were so low that it made it a lot easier to do more. And we had more time to kind of say, all right, we did this. We could go back and forth between the parks. And we had that third day, which I'm sure if you had a third day where you could go to both parks, then you would have gotten a whole lot more done after you got a little bit of a lay of the land as well.
Yeah, I think so. If we had done one more day, and, you know, even if we had only done one park, if we didn't hop, you at least know, like, here's what we missed, and that's what we're going to do this time.
I think the perfect amount is the 3 day park hopper, because then you can really do a lot at both places, and it's so easy to get back and forth between the two.
I think if we were staying a little bit longer, we probably would have done a third day.
Mm-hmm.
But just the length of our trip to California, we had like a lot of other stuff we wanted to do too.
Well, sure.
So, but we prioritized, we knew we wanted to do 2 days in Disney. So, you know, we made that part of our trip, obviously. And we talked about, we're like, well, if we have a day, if we've done everything we want, and at the end of the week we want to go back, we can go back and do another day.
Right.
Because Dan had an annual pass, and Brittany had her cast main gate and was able to get me in. So for part of the time that we were there, at least.
Oh,
so.
Okay.
So we could have easily kind of just gone back, but we didn't end up doing that. But yeah, I'm trying to think of the other things. We saw the Newsboys show.
Oh, with the red trolley. That's cool.
Yeah. I like that the a suitcase lot. And a dream. Yeah, that was really great. I liked that. I really enjoyed that. That's the kind of stuff that I really like too. I like seeing all of the different shows, especially like the street performers. I kept saying that I wanted to watch Five and Dime, but we never really caught them. We caught the tail end of one of their shows, which was, you know, good enough for me, better than nothing. But I love that stuff, just seeing all the performers out and about and things like that. We didn't see a lot of the, I don't know if they're called citizens there, but they kind of have their own citizens. Like, I know they have an officer and like a messenger and different things like that.
I don't remember seeing anything like that.
I've seen pictures of it just through like people I follow on Instagram and stuff like that. But we didn't really see them around at all. But we also didn't spend a whole lot of time in just that kind of main entrance area.
Yeah.
So, what else? We did the, it's not really a tour, but we did that, the tour, quote unquote, of the little bread factory.
Oh, where you get the free sourdough.
Rosie O'Donnell and Colin Mockery telling you about sourdough bread.
Yeah, I don't think we did that. I think we went in and got the free bread and then walked out.
Yeah, we went in and watched the little video with Rosie and Colin and then got our free bread and then left. We actually ended up eating over there in that area. It's kind of like almost a food court area over there by the pier.
Yeah, that's really nice over there.
Yeah, so I got a sandwich at the bakery. It was like a chicken turkey pesto club sandwich, but it was on like nice fresh bread. And I think Dan had gotten like a salad in a bread bowl from there as well. And Brittany got something from like the Asian.
Yeah, I think I did that. Food I got over something there. Over there.
Yeah.
And Sarah got, like,
but everything looked good. We kind of like did a loop around that area to check out all the menus and everything sounded really good, but
you missed out on the corn dog castle, though.
Yeah.
That place was good.
They have especially good corn dogs there.
Especially good, yes.
I do love corn dogs. I'll have to go back.
Yeah, just for corn dogs. It's worth it. Corn dogs and beignets. Between those two things, it's worth the trip.
For sure.
Everyone talks about the churros in Disneyland, but I was all about the beignets.
Yeah, I enjoy a churro every once in a while, but it's not my favorite thing. It's nothing that I would go out of my way to get.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat.
I was going to get a Dole Whip, but they also don't have the vanilla swirl, although I heard they brought that back to Magic Kingdom.
Yeah, I heard that, too. I think I said it to Catherine, but I don't know if it's true. But I haven't seen it. Yeah, I heard that.
But they didn't have the swirl. Dan and Brittany both got one, and I was like, do you do the swirl? And they said no, and I said, okay, I don't want one. Thank you very much.
Although the area there, the Sunshine Tree Terrace or whatever it's called over there, is so nice right at the entrance of the Tiki Room.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
At Disneyland.
Yeah, we didn't eat much. We kind of were eating on the go that whole day. Like, we didn't even try to sit down anywhere or do anything fancy. Just when we were all hungry, we were in that area near the pier, so that's where we ate. And it was pretty low-key for eating. We didn't go out of our way to get anything. I did say, if we have time, I wanted to check out Cove Bar.
Yeah.
But again, just, when you're only there for one day, it's not always a priority.
Right.
Maybe if I was going with you and Mike, we would have made more food priorities, but
it definitely would have made more food.
This
priorities.
Particular group was not, we didn't have as much food priority as more experience priorities. Yeah. So
talk about Radiator Springs Racers. Obviously you ended up going on that because you got
I loved Radiator Springs Racers. I think that's such a great ride. It reminds me of, obviously not specifically, but it's very similar in feel to me as like a Splash Mountain, because you have those like thrilling parts, but then there's like those slow parts where you're really immersed in the story.
Yeah.
So I really liked that about it. Like, you kind of go in and there's a lot of story elements and there's the really cool new animatronics and things like that, and then you have that like thrilling part at the end with the race. And obviously it's often compared to Test Track in that way as well.
Right,
that
makes sense.
Have slower like build up and then that kind of finish.
But that beginning part where you go through like the mountains is really nice.
Yeah. It's so nice. It's beautiful. Like it's so cool. You're like, this is like man-made mountains, but you're just like, oh my God, this is so beautiful. And it looks
and you
just
come up
like
to the waterfall. And it,
Yeah. I loved everything about that. And our car won.
Oh, very nice.
And someone was talking to me once and they're like, I think they make it so that every car wins. And I was like, that's impossible. A car wins and a car loses. Not every car can win.
Right.
But we won and yeah, it was a lot of fun. I loved it. I knew a little bit about it, but I hadn't watched like a ride video or anything, so it was all new experience.
Yeah, the animatronics are good in there. Really good.
Yeah. Yeah, so it was great. It was probably that and the Indiana Jones ride in Disneyland were probably my two favorite.
Yeah, those are like, both good.
Completely different new ride. Not that they're completely different. They're both kind of similar to a ride in Disney World, but those are probably my two favorites.
Yeah, there's not really many rides in Disneyland that are entirely dissimilar to ones in Disney World, even if they're themed differently.
Yeah.
A couple of
I think
the
biggest
rides,
one is like kind of like the carousel. Not the carousel, the Ferris wheel.
Yeah, the Ferris wheel is very unique. Obviously, the Matterhorn is unique. Mm-hmm. And then mm-hmm. some of the dark rides like Alice in Wonderland and and Mr. Toad, which used to be at Disney mm-hmm. World, but things like that. But as far as like the big thrill rides, not too many.
Yeah.
I mean, they all have their little differences and similarities, but most of them are, you know, mm-hmm. like you said, California Screaming, you compare to Rocket Roller Coaster. Test Track, you compare mm-hmm. to Radiator Springs. And, you know, some are exactly the same. Splash Mountain, Thunder Mountain, Space Mountain. Ride vehicles are different, but they're the same ride. So, yeah, there's not a lot. Like you said, the Mickey's Fun Wheel is unique, and there's a few others, but yeah.
Yeah, overall. Especially thrill rides, like you said, it's kind of one for one. You can find something very similar. It's more like those little rides that aren't like, there's some of in the storybook area in Disneyland that there's not really a version of it in Disney World.
Right.
But
that's why, like, when they were redoing Hollywood Studios before they announced Toy Story, they were saying they might make it into Cars Land and mm-hmm. bring over Radiator Springs Racers. And I was saying there's no way mm-hmm. they're going to do that because it's basically the same ride system as Test Track. They're not going to bring over the same ride with a different theme. They're just not going to do it. And they didn't, obviously. But
I'm not really a fan of all the changes coming to studios, I'm glad that they didn't just take something that was successful in California and just, like, plop it into Florida. Like, there's so many properties that Disney owns, like, do something different. So they're doing Toy Story, which is one of my favorite Pixar franchises. So I'm happy about that, at least.
Yeah, it'll be good.
Although I would have liked to see maybe an expansion of the Muppet area.
Right.
But
well, I guess they're putting in a new restaurant over there now.
Another Muppet restaurant?
No, it's not a Muppet restaurant, just a new...
They're reopening
the streets of America under a different name.
Yeah.
I forget what they're calling it, and they're putting in like a...
Just that, like, one little area right near Writer's, where Writer's Stuff was. Yes, I have. I did see that.
It's going to be like a craft beer kind of restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
Which
I did see that.
Sounds good to me.
Now that you mention it. Yeah. I think those are kind of the big things. The only other, like, big thing I would talk about is World of Color, yeah. So I don't think there was anything else major from the day that we did.
What were your takeaways from that? I think that's the best nighttime show I've seen at Disney World.
Yeah, I loved it.
I liked it slightly better than Illuminations, but I thought it was mm-hmm. awesome.
Yeah, I knew I was going to love it. I think everyone that I've talked to, which is not a lot of people. I don't know actually too many people that have been to Disneyland and California Adventure, but I knew I was going to love it. But I kind of didn't know what to expect too much, but it's similar, I guess, in the way that it's projected and stuff to Fantasmic, but I loved the soundtrack. Like, I could just sit and listen to that anytime.
Yeah.
And I liked all the way that they incorporated all the movies and the lights. And it's not just like a mist that they project onto. Like, all the water moves and the jets are all different.
I even like how they bring that. The fun wheel into it, too.
Yeah. All the lights on that light up. And they have, like, a game you can play while you're waiting. Like, you can download something on your phone and, like, play a game. We didn't do that, but I saw other people doing it. So they really incorporate a lot of things into it. But, yeah, I thought it was amazing just the way that they use the jets and the water and the projection and the lights and, like you said, the fun wheel and everything's included in it. We didn't have the greatest spots for it either, but
Yeah. Even
so, I could see almost everything. And, I mean, not even being able to see the projections, like, you can still see the way that they use the lights and the water, and it's just, like, unbelievable.
But there were a few, like, times where you, like, literally get chills.
Yeah.
Watching it. Like, I'm not even a big Pirates of the Caribbean fan movie, but that part was, like, so good.
Yeah.
And then, Yeah. Obviously, the parts with Walt's voice in it and stuff like mm-hmm. that. Like, there were some really, really good parts of it. I'm going to have to watch a YouTube on it, because I'm just going off memory from 4 or 5 years ago, and still has those parts that just were so incredible. I know they change it up a little bit. I don't know if they've added mm-hmm. some of the newer movies in there, and I know they have a Christmas one that's different, so.
Yeah, I've heard that. I know there was a Brave section in it that I guess has not always been a part of it.
Yeah, I don't know. I was going to say, I don't know if they had anything from Moana in there or anything like that, because even Frozen, I don't think was out when we went,
yeah.
or had just come out. I don't even remember when.
Yeah.
When I went,
but it is something, yeah, I have heard that they kind of change it and will switch things in and out, but.
Yeah.
Yeah, I always like the parts, too, of any shows that they do that kind of bring Walt into it and kind of just the history of Disney. Like, that was always my favorite part of Celebrate the Magic, was just at the end
mm-hmm.
when they had Walt and they talked about how it all started with a mouse. And so it's always nice to kind of tie it back to that. In kind of honor that in their shows and stuff.
Right.
So
certainly.
Yeah. I loved it. I think it probably would be, probably my favorite nighttime thing that I've seen in any of the parks.
Yeah. It's something, and maybe because it was the first time, I don't know, maybe it doesn't hold up as much as like Illuminations does from multiple mm-hmm. viewings.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as like the wow factor, the first time really blew me away.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm still kind of reserving judgment for Happily Ever After because when Mom and I went, we had terrible view.
Oh, so you couldn't see the projections as good?
Not really, and we had just like a lot of really rude people just kind of standing in front of us in the particular area we were in. Like, people just kept walking through and they would stop in front of us and then they would like keep going, and so it was just like, it was bad. Like, we couldn't see, so. I like the soundtrack and everything, but I still don't really have a good grip on how I feel about the entirety of it. But I've heard only good things.
Well, on that note, I guess we could take our second break, unless you have anything else you want to add here.
No, I think that's it.
All right, we'll take a break, come right back, and wrap things up.
All right.
Disney presents
The Wonderful World of
We're back from break. You just got through listening to episode 184 of the Por Favor podcast. Gary here, joined by Por Favor Mary, wrapping up her two-part trip review out west to Disneyland and California Adventure. I guess I have to ask the question, two-part question.
All right.
Disneyland or California Adventure, if you could only pick one?
I think Disneyland.
And then I think the answer to the second one, I think, is pretty obvious, but do you like Disneyland or Magic Kingdom better?
I feel like I would have to go with Disneyland.
Really?
I think just because...
Just the sheer volume of rides?
Yeah, like they just have those extra little things that you can do. Like, I feel like there's a couple more thrill rides in Disneyland, and there's just more rides, and you can do a lot of the same things.
Yeah.
Although I would miss Carousel of Progress,
People Mover,
and the Country Bears, and kind of those old school fun things that a lot of people don't like, but I really like.
Yeah.
I'm glad I don't have to choose.
No,
really.
You don't. And I was going to say Walt Disney World versus Disneyland, but that's kind of not fair because it's four parks versus two. It's all the resorts. It's so much.
Yeah. I mean, I think obviously it's easier for me anyway to go to Disney World, but I think if you're planning a whole vacation, like for a week, you're obviously getting more bang for your buck, I guess, in Disney World.
Yeah.
Because there's just so much more to do. I would have liked to have been able to explore the downtown Disney area a little bit, because we didn't go in there at all.
It's not that great.
Yeah.
It's tiny. It's so tiny. There's not that many stores. It's kind of... It's okay.
Yeah. But, yeah. I feel like we did a lot of things. We did most of the big ticket items. We did... I would... very much like to go back at some point. Be nice. I think Catherine and Mom and Dad would like to go and experience it. And maybe do some more like restaurant experiences and different things like that as well. But I think it was a good little like first trip, a little intro to Disneyland.
Definitely yeah. Fun. I think it's something that if you're a big theme park fan, like if you love Walt Disney World, you have to do Disneyland at some point, or at least try, because it's so, you kind of can see where they took the stuff that they did in Disneyland and incorporate it into Walt Disney World, and a lot of the things, and vice versa as well, some of the stuff from like California Adventure that they did, because that's the newest park, if you think, I mean, that's
right.
Newer than Animal Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the newest park, and they basically rebuilt it from scratch about 4 or 5 years ago. So that,
yeah.
I mean, it's a new park, too, so to see what they're doing with Hollywood Studios, I think that's their plan for Hollywood Studios is to be more like California Adventure.
Mm-hmm.
So
yep.
We'll see how it all ends up over there at Hollywood Studios.
We'll see. I'm keeping an open mind.
I just know I'm not going to care about the Star Wars land.
I know. It's tough because even for me, though, like, I didn't see Avatar, and I was able to, like, appreciate Pandora, but at the same time, I was like, I have no frame of reference for this. It's just cool in and of itself.
Right, but, and if you think that's going to be, it's going to be nothing compared, because Star Wars, the fans are so rabid for Star Wars that they're going to put so many, like, little nods to the movies that are just going to totally go over our heads.
Yeah, I'm not going to get it.
And
yeah.
It's going to look nice. Obviously, the theming is going to be good. But it's just going to be like, oh, okay, so what? This obviously means something, but I have no clue what it means.
Right.
And even the rides, like on Star Tours, I enjoy the ride itself, but I don't know. I don't get any of the references. Like, there's little inside jokes, and it means nothing to me.
Yeah. It's definitely a cool ride, but the experience is different if you don't have that frame of reference.
Right. So while they did that Cars Land in California Adventure, they're going to do the Star Wars land at Hollywood Studios, and they're going to go to that level of detail on that level, that amount of ride, because I think there's going to be three rides, and it's going to be to that scope and probably bigger, and it's just going to mean very little to me. And I'm kind of...
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure it's going to be good, Don't get me wrong. Yep. I'm sure they're going to do a good job, but not really looking forward to it.
I think especially because it's Star Wars and the fans are such avid fans that they have to do a good job or they'll hear about it.
And it's going to be something where you're not even going to be able to move in there for the first couple years after it opens.
Yeah. That's the nice part about not caring about Star Wars is I don't feel the need to go over there until it isn't so insane.
That's true.
You know, I won't feel like I'm really missing anything.
Good point.
But my kind of thoughts about studios now is, like, I just have to go into it kind of from now on, for the most part, as just thinking, like, it's just a new park. It's not the park that was my favorite park anymore.
It's not even a park right now. It's, like,
rides. Yeah.
And construction walls.
Exactly. So... anyway, I guess that's a different topic for a different episode.
Definitely. Well, thanks for joining, Mary. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
2 weeks in a row, and hopefully we'll hear from you again soon. Not far down the line. Too bad about your trip being canceled, but obviously big things, real life stuff came up. And again, to reiterate from the beginning, hope everyone stayed safe and is safe during this hurricane coming up through the southeast United States. And you know, we're thinking about you, all the people down there, especially Mike and Kristen, like we mentioned before. So hopefully everyone's made it through okay or is hunkering down as we speak, and we'll get through it. Hopefully, just hope for the best. That's all I really have to say. Anything you want to add there, Mary, or are you good to go?
No, just same thing. I'm keeping positive thoughts. Obviously through living in Orlando made some friends down there, so just keeping everybody in my thoughts. And you know, we have winter preparations to make and they have hurricane preparations to make, and so thankfully a lot of our friends and family that live down there have made it through different types of crazy weather, so they kind of I guess know the drill. So hopefully it's not any worse than anything that they've had to deal with before. And, yeah, just keeping a positive thought.
All right. Well, on that note, we'll wrap it up. Thank you for listening. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter, iTunes, Stitcher, all those places. If you search for Por Favor Podcast, go to youtube.com/Por Favor Podcast. You can email the show info@PorFavorPodcast.com. You can email me, Gary@PorFavorPodcast.com. You can email Mike. He's Mike@PorFavorPodcast.com. And follow him on Twitter, @PorFavorMike. I can't think of anything else. I think I said iTunes and all that. But subscribe, leave comments, all that kind of stuff. That's going to do it for Por Favor Mary joining me. My name's Gary. Thank you for listening to episode 184 of the Por Favor Mantengase Alejado de los Podcast. Have a great day.
Shining at the end of every day, there's a great big beautiful tomorrow, and tomorrow's just a dream away. Man has a dream, and that's the start. He follows his dream with mind and heart, and when it becomes a reality, it's a dream come true for you and me. So there's a great big beautiful tomorrow, shining at the end of every day. There's a great big beautiful tomorrow, just a dream away.
There's a great big
beautiful tomorrow, shining at the end of every day. There's a great big beautiful tomorrow,
and tomorrow's just a dream away. Man has a dream, and that's the start. He follows his dream with mind and heart. When it becomes a reality, it's a dream come true for you and me. So there's a great, big, beautiful tomorrow, shining at the end of every day. There's a great, big, beautiful tomorrow, just a dream away.